The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
I do share with you all again, happy Father's Day. What an incredible day. I'm so glad that we do honor our fathers. I think fathers, again, have such a very important and essential job in the kingdom. And I think that there's just awesome the way that you lead your families and the ability that you have to point your families, especially your kids, to Christ. I wanted to say that I'm very thankful that I had a faithful father. I had a very, very faithful father. And there are sometimes people, and when we talk about Father's Day, that Father's Day can almost feel as a sad time because some people missed their fathers, or they had an absent father or an absentee father. Some had fathers who were provided monetarily but kind of physically checked out, and that's really sad. And that I was always blessed that my dad was always there. And which is really incredible because my dad didn't have a dad growing up. He grew up without a father in his home. But somehow he learned that being a father meant being there. My dad coached my t-ball team when I was a kid. I don't know how all of that happened, but he coached the years that I was there and kind of rough on me, encouraging me to be the best that I could, but I really enjoyed him being my coach. He was my first basketball coach, which I know that was a labor of love for my dad. He did that to be with me and spend time with me because my dad didn't like basketball. But I wanted to play basketball, and he became my first basketball coach. My dad taught me how to fish. My dad taught me how to drive a car. And he taught me how to work hard and how to take pride in my work. What was really kind of interesting is as I became a man, I came to faith in Christ. I didn't grow up in a home of faith. And when I came to faith in Christ, my dad didn't really understand that. But he supported me in it, which was amazing. He supported me even though he did not understand and share that faith. And he was proud as I went to school and then I became a pastor and started pastoring. He would introduce me. This is my son, the pastor. And even though he did not share faith at that time. And I've shared faith with my dad regularly. And generally we ended up talking about the Cubs. But at the end of his life, my dad was not only a faithful father, he became a father of faith. That we prayed together and he placed his faith in Christ 2 weeks before he died. And I'm so glad that I will see my father in heaven again because my dad was a faithful father. Last week we started talking about the faithful father in connection with the prodigal son. The faithful father in the parable of the prodigal son, he was faithful to the prodigal, the younger son, because he allowed his son to make choices in his life, but he also offered grace to his son when his son made poor choices. He accepted his son's return, and then he was a faithful father because he celebrated his son's salvation. Now today we're taking the next step in that story. Because as we finished last week, we ended with the prodigal son coming home and the faithful father celebrating that and throwing a huge party to say, my son who was dead is now alive. He was lost. Now he's found. And he threw a great party for it. But the faithful father had two sons. And we're looking at that other relationship today. The prodigal demanded his inheritance but came home in repentance. But then the faithful father also had another son to deal with. So get the magic clicker. Please look with me here at the scripture from Luke 15, verse 25 through 32. And it says, meanwhile, Jesus again telling the parable, he continues on. He says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, and you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This really, again, is a story of the faithful father. And the faithful father, we saw how he interacted with the younger son, but then he has this older son. And this is a son who never left the father. He did what the father had always asked him to do. Even when he saw his younger brother, irresponsibly in his mind, go off and spend inheritance, his father's property, on wild living. He watched the son go, and thinking he was having the time of his life, and he remained with his father. And you know what? I think this is a great choice on his part. I think this is what he should have done. To stay and remain with the father the whole time. But, like we said last week, the older son isn't the hero of the story. Just as the younger son is not the hero of the story. The faithful father is the hero of this parable. And just as the father was faithful to the prodigal son, the father is also faithful to the older son. So as we think about this scripture and as we look at it, I want to point out three ways that the father was faithful to his older son and how God is also the faithful father to us. So the first thing that I recognized as I went through this parable again is the faithful father was always with his son. The faithful father was always with his son. He reminded his older son when he went out to talk to him that you're always with me. The son had never departed from the father's presence. He never had to worry about being left behind or being all on his own. He didn't have to struggle with that separation from the father like the younger son did when he was out feeding the pigs and starving to death and thinking, things are even so much better for servants at my father's house. The older son never dealt with that because he was always with the father. The father never left him. And likewise, we see that God is our faithful father because he was always with us. God is always with us. One of the things that is so amazing to me about being a follower of Jesus Christ is that we're never alone. I remember the moment that I was in an Army basic training chapel and I felt alone in the world with nobody around me and I became a believer and came to Christ. I've never been alone since that moment. God is with us no matter what. As Joshua was about to enter the promised land, he found out that he was not going to go with Moses, who had been like a father to him. But then Moses said to him in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Moses gave Joshua an incredible promise as he entered into the promised land. And I think he gives that promise to us as well. God, our faithful father, goes with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And Jesus likewise gives this promise that he will always be with us as well. He gave the great commission to the disciples, telling them to go and make disciples. And then he gives a promise to go along with it. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, he said, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You see, I think we can be quite content in our lives because we know that the faithful Father has promised to always be with us. He has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. God is a faithful Father who is always there. The second thing I saw in this parable is that the faithful Father gave the Son everything he needed. The faithful Father gives the Son everything he needed. He said to the Son, "Everything I have is yours." And the Son received everything that he needed from the Father. Every need was taken care of. And likewise, God is our faithful Father who meets all of our needs. James tells us in James 1, verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." We need to realize and remember that God is the one who has blessed us with every good and perfect gift that we have. Our Heavenly Father is not without resources. He is not trying to allocate them out so that to make sure that he has enough saved up. No, he is the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You see, God has us covered. God has us taken care of. He is the faithful Father who gives us what we need. Now, if you're like most people, we sometimes worry that we're not going to have our needs met. We sometimes worry where it's all going to come from, how we're going to make ends meet. And I remember when I left the active duty army, Linda hated this, but when we left our active duty army, I came to her and I said, "Well, now we're homeless." And she said, "We're not homeless." I said, "Well, do we have a house? Do we have an apartment? Do we have any of our stuff?" Because the army had loaded it up and it was on a truck somewhere. "And do we know where we're going to eventually live?" And she said, "No." I said, "Well, then we're homeless." And she didn't like that initially, but it was true. But we knew that we could trust in what God was doing with us. And when we left Portland and felt God calling us to this new work in Marion, we wondered, are we going to have a good enough income to survive? And I've got to tell you, we still pray about it. We still ask for God's for provision for us in making ends meet and all of that. But we recognized what Jesus reminds us of. He tells us that God is the faithful Father. He said to us in Matthew 6, verse 26 through 27, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" You see, God calls us his children. And we are much more valuable to him than the birds of the air. But he knows everything that happens to the birds and cares for them. How much more so does our heavenly Father supply our needs? How much more so is he there for us to take care of what we need? And finally, I saw in this scripture that the faithful Father called his older son to the celebration. He went out to talk to his son who had refused to come in. And he said, "We had to celebrate and be glad. We have to. We need to celebrate your brother. I love that line of did you pick up what happened there in the conversation and the interaction they had together? When the older son came to complain, he says, this son of yours who wasted your property on wild living. He is basically saying it's your responsibility. This son of yours did this, and now you're having a party for him when he comes home. But the father turns that back around. And he said, we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours has come home. You see, sometimes we miss that. And I know I'm departing a little bit and going on a tangent, but sometimes we miss that what's going on with people around us in our world, that we get upset at the stupid things that they do. And let me tell you, some people do some stupid things and we think, well, it serves them right. They're just wasting things and messing stuff up. And I say, God, why don't you take care of them? Zap them with a lightning bolt or something. We say, these children of yours are acting this way. But then God says, when they come to your church, you must rejoice because this brother of yours has come home. And so we need to look at that and see how God is bringing his children home and that they are our brothers and sisters as well. You see, just as the faithful father called his son into the celebration, I believe that God calls us to the celebration as well. He is our faithful father and calls us to the celebration. You see, just being in the family of God, just being here today is reason to celebrate. Do you get that? It's reason to celebrate, to be a part of God's family. Last week we talked about celebrating our salvation with each other. And I hope that you shared with your family your salvation story and what God has done in your life. And I think that it is a cause to celebrate just that we are in God's family. And I think the older brother forgot that. We need to celebrate that we're in God's family. And an incredible thing that happened with Jesus and the disciples, he tells the disciples to go out to minister. He sends them out two by two, sends the 72 out to minister to others. And they come back and they're really excited. They're all jazzed about what happened because they say, you know what? We went out to minister and even the demons submitted to us. This is so cool. And do you know what Jesus said to them? He said, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It wasn't rejoicing in a power that they had or that they could command even demons to depart from people. It was to rejoice that they were children of God, that their names were written down in heaven. The fact that your names are written down in heaven when you trust in Jesus Christ is all the reason you need to join the party. I love the way that Paul goes on to say it in Philippians 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. We need to celebrate what God has done for us. We should always be ready to celebrate. Now, as we look at that scripture that Paul had there, did he say, rejoice sometimes if you really feel like it? No, that's not what he says. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always be ready to rejoice. Are you ready to rejoice? Are you? Why don't we practice it? We can rejoice here together today. Now, sometimes there are some church words that we use for rejoicing, aren't there? And it's okay to use them. They're good words. Some of the words we use are glory or hallelujah or praise the Lord, right? So let's practice it. On the count of three, I ask everyone to shout out the word glory with me, okay? Will you do that with me? All right, let's try it. And if I just yell it out, it's going to sound really funny, so I need your help. So, one, two, three. Glory! Glory. That celebration. That's pretty cool. Okay, let's try that with hallelujah, all right? We're going to do hallelujah on three. One, two, three. Hallelujah. All right. Now we're going to do the trifecta, okay? We're going to do praise the Lord on the count of three, all right? One, two, three. Praise the Lord. You see, even though we're just yelling out words together, it's celebrating. You should see what I see up here. Do you know what I see? I see you smiling. When you called out those words, I saw a smile. I saw one pop up over here and then a couple over here. And then we went to hallelujah and like, okay, we're going to do hallelujah. And everyone started smiling. There was rejoicing that was going on, even in just saying the words. It is good to rejoice in the Lord. And you know what? When we come together on Sunday morning, we say, what do we say on Sunday morning? We say, get up, we're going to church, right? And we say, oh, okay, we're going to the worship service. Do you know what this is today? Do you know what we're doing? We could call this the celebration service. Because that's what we do when we come to church. It's not dragging to church because we got to go do church. We are celebrating what God has done for us. We are celebrating what Jesus did on the cross to save us from our sins. We are celebrating the way God acts within our lives. It is incredible. We can continue to celebrate that way. And we are celebrating in preparation for a final celebration. You see, there is going to be in the final days when everyone is called up to heaven, what is known as the wedding feast of the Lamb. We know Jesus is called the Lamb and the church is called his bride. And when he brings us into heaven, there's going to be a celebration. We're told in Revelation 19 verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. God, our Heavenly Father, is calling us to the ultimate celebration in heaven. You ready to celebrate like that? That's going to be cool. And we get all this time to practice getting ready for that celebration. So again, as we think of this parable, the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the two sons, which I like to call the parable of the faithful father, that the hero is the faithful father. Not only was he faithful to the prodigal, but he was also faithful to the older brother. And since the faithful father represents God, who is our faithful father, I believe that his faithfulness calls for a response on our part. So I just wanted to share, as I was thinking about this parable, four ways that we can respond to the faithful father. And the first thing that I thought of in responding to the faithful father is that we must give God, our faithful father, thanks in all things. Paul points out here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, he says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you see what that means? This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants us to be thankful in all circumstances. And you know, initially, the thought of being faithful in all circumstances kind of seems tough for us. And you know what? It was tough for the older son as well. He didn't want to be thankful. He was not thankful that his brother had returned. In fact, he was quite the opposite. You see, he was angry that his brother had returned. He resented that his brother had returned and that his father had given him a party. The older son, I think, might have been a bit like me in what he would have wanted the younger son to prove himself as a servant before he could possibly be reinstated as a son. The older son was not thankful. Our response to a faithful father must be thankfulness. Even in tough situations, we need to be thankful. For we have so much to be thankful for. Just as I shared a little bit ago, there are so many blessings that we have to be thankful for. We can be thankful that God is always with us in each and every situation. We can be thankful that we have received forgiveness for our sins. We can be thankful that God has provided us with so many rich blessings. And we can be thankful that God meets us at our need. God is our faithful Father. And we need to respond to Him and give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the second thing I think that we can do is that we need to serve God with a grateful heart. It's kind of interesting that in the parable, the older son continues to serve God. He continues to serve his father. But it does not look like he served with a grateful heart. Instead, as we think about it, it seems like he served out of a sense of duty, that he was required to do it, or he served because of the benefit he thought he was going to receive from it. Whichever way, he did not serve with a thankful heart. And Jesus says to us, instead of thinking about what we can gain or the power that we might have in a situation, we should choose to be God's servants instead. He said in Mark chapter 10, verse 34 or 43 through 45, he said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus himself did not use his position, but he served God and served others with a grateful heart. And Jesus is our example of how to be a grateful servant. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, he says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. You see, God has a great service planned for you. God has good works planned. And He wants each of us to do good. He is the faithful Father, and He has trained us to do good. And then He has gifted us to do good. And He wants us to step out and then do good works for the kingdom, to see the kingdom grow. And you know what? This is an amazing thing. God does not need us. God is not beholding and begs us to go. If we don't go, God will raise someone up. But God chooses for us to be involved in His great plan. He invites us to be part of His family and join in what He has in store for us. And He says, this is a work that I have for you, my children. And we should step up and serve with a grateful heart. Then I think the third thing that we need to do is join the faithful Father with a forgiving heart. We also need to have a forgiving heart. You see, the older brother did not want to forgive his brother. He didn't want his father to forgive his brother. He seemed to be angry that he had followed the rules and the prodigal son did not. He didn't have a forgiving heart. How might this story have been different if the older brother had had a forgiving heart? What if this older brother, this older son, had reached out to his younger brother instead? What if the older brother had sought out the younger brother? What if he did everything he could to bring his younger brother home? My friend Tim Rail, he's a great friend of mine. He's actually my coach as I'm doing church planting. He told me a story of when he and his dad and his brother went on a hunting trip. They had gone out to a hunting cabin. They were staying out in the woods, and they had gone hunting together. And as they went out to go hunting, there was a specific place that they had chosen that they were going to go do their hunting. And when they went out there, Tim's brother said, I think I know a better spot. I'm going to go further down out into the woods and go to this different spot. And so he did that. And as they did that and they were hunting, the snow started falling. And the visibility got to be about zero. And And they decided, you know, we can't do this. We need to go home. I know the cabin's in that direction. And so they hollered for the other son, Tim's brother. And they couldn't hear him. They got no response. And the dad said, I'm going to make it to the cabin. And I'm going to turn the lights on. And I'm going to holler from you from the door of the cabin. And Tim said, I can't leave my brother. I've got to go out and get my brother. I think he went in that direction. And so he went trudging through the snow, and the father, his dad, went home and turned on the lights to the cabin and stood on the porch. And he went looking for his brother, and he called out to his brother, and he called out to his brother. And then he heard this weak voice. And you see, his brother had gotten lost. And as he trudged through the snow, he became exhausted. And he was so tired, he could hardly drag himself up. And Tim called to him, and he heard him, and he came to him, and he put his arm around his shoulder and basically lifted him up. And he said, I'm sure the cabin is that way. And they started going to the cabin. And he was calling out to his dad, and he then heard his dad's voice calling back out to him. And as they came close to the cabin, he said, I called out to my dad, Dad, I'm almost there. We're getting there. And his dad said something, and Tim said that it chills his heart every time he thinks of it. His dad hollers out. He said, are you one or are you two? You see, he was afraid he had lost a son. And he called out, are you one son or are you two sons? And he said, Dad, we're two. And they came into the cabin and they rejoiced together. And the family had come back together. You see, I hate to admit it, friends, but I think as the church, we are sometimes so much like the older brother that we think we're here, we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're following God's rules, and there are the world is going to hell out there, and they probably deserve it because they just, if they would just listen, if they would just follow God's rules, things would be better. But the faithful Heavenly Father wants each of these children to come home. And I think he calls out to us and says, go to the lost. And I think he is like the faithful father standing at the door. And when we come in on Sunday morning, I can just imagine God saying, are you two or are you one? Are you just one coming home, or did you bring a brother? And I think God wants us to have that forgiving heart. He puts us on mission. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Come back to God. God wants us to go to our neighbors and make the appeal for them to come home to him. God wants us to go to our family members and make the appeal to come home to him. God wants us to go to our community and make the appeal to come home to him. Our response to our faithful Father is to have a forgiving heart to those around us and encourage them to come home to God. And finally, I again think we need to celebrate. We need to celebrate with our Heavenly Father. God has invited, or the father invited his older son to come in and join the celebration. But do you know what? The older son refused. He said he wasn't going to do it. We need to make sure that we join in with the Heavenly Father and celebrate what God is doing. We need to celebrate what he's done in our lives. And I want to share with you two ways that we can do that. Very easy things that we can do. The first way to celebrate is to join regularly in worship. Like I said, this is celebration. We should have that mindset when we come to worship on Sunday morning, that we are coming to celebrate what God has done. Think about what we do. We sing together in celebration. We talk about what God has done in celebration. We celebrate what Jesus has done in our lives. The writer at Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." We need to come together and encourage each other. We need to worship together and to celebrate what God is doing with each other. We need to that encouragement. We need that celebration together. If you've got something great that you're celebrating and you're so excited about it, do you go home alone and say, "I'm going to go in my house and celebrate all by myself"? We generally don't do that. We say, "Hey, guess what? Something great happened. Let's go celebrate." That's what we do when we come together in worship, that we are to come together and celebrate and honor the faithful Father for what he has done. A second way that we can easily celebrate is to share our story with others. We all have a testimony. We all have a story of what God has done. You know what? The older son had a testimony as well. Last week we shared a little bit about the younger son. He could tell his testimony about how he thought he knew better and went off and did wild living, but his father received him back home as a son and celebrated. The older son has a testimony as well. The older son says, "You know what? God has never left me. My father never left me. My father never pushed me out into the cold, hard, terrible world out there. He always had a place for me. He had a place for me to do work. He cared for my needs. He loved me. I have a great father." That's the story that the older son had. And you see, we all have a story to tell. And our story may sound more like the prodigal son. Our story may sound more like the older son. But we each have a story to tell of what God has done. And Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 3:15, "Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." We celebrate what God has done in our lives when we tell others about it. We tell our story. We share what God has done. We invite others to come home to the faithful Heavenly Father with us. Friends, again, the hero of our story is God. He is the hero. Just like the faithful Father is the hero of the parable. He, our faithful Father, God, is always there for us. He blesses us with everything that we have. He calls us into the celebration. In response for what God has done, we should all give thanks. We should serve gratefully. We should offer God's love and forgiveness to those around us and celebrate what God has done. So let me ask you, are you doing this? Are you doing these things? You see, if we fail to do these things, if we fail to remember God's faithfulness, we are in danger of being like the older brother and being resentful and angry instead of celebrating God's faithfulness. You know what? That's a terrible way to live. Being angry and resentful is not only bad for others around you, it's bad for you as well. A terrible way to live. So I want to encourage us to practice daily giving God the thanks. We should look for ways that we can faithfully serve. We should purposefully share with others what God has done. And then we all come together and remember to celebrate. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do love you and praise you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you have given so much to us, Lord, that you have honored us by being our faithful Heavenly Father. And Lord, we know that as your son Jesus told us parables like the story of the two sons, the faithful father, that it calls for a response. Jesus didn't just tell nice stories and leave them hanging out there. He was giving spiritual truths that need to be addressed in our lives. So, Lord, we ask that you help us to be thankful. Let us look for the blessings that you've given to us and remember them daily. We ask, Lord, that you help us to serve you faithfully. We ask, Lord, that you give us those times and that we recognize that this is a time when we can share what you have done with someone else. And then, Lord, let us always be ready to celebrate what you have done. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.